Well, no further ado, we are blessed today. We're going to call Pastor Tim up. He's going to share the word. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I encourage us all to open up our ears and hear what the Spirit has to say today. I'm excited. I can't wait for God to minister to me in my heart. And I would say the same for you. You're not here by accident. God has something special in store for us, something that we need to hear. Amen? Amen.
Thanks, Pastor. Amen. And I just want to say something. You know, if you're 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 miles away, it doesn't matter. If your heart's in the right place and you want this gospel, you can get the covering, this covering over you. Just sow a seed. You know, like if you're on our website and you're listening, you're locked into our messages, there's a PayPal button on there. Click the PayPal button. Sow a seed. Doesn't matter how much it is. And keep listening to the truth that we're speaking in here, because your life will change and the covering of God will be over your life. So it doesn't matter how far you are. It doesn't matter if you're here every week. You're a part of this ministry. You're a part of this covering. Amen. If I would like to say is, you know, that's your measure. If everybody just took a step back today and really evaluated their life, and if you took the evaluation and said, you know, am I truly in God's will? You know, am I truly saved? If I were to die here today, and if I evaluated my life, do I truly have a heavenly place with God? You know, God put us all here on earth for a reason, and the reason that we all believe is because at one point in heaven, before we were here on earth, we fell. And you know, the Bible says that 1/3 of the angels fell from heaven, and what caused that was there was pride within these angels. It could have been all of us, you know, and we fell from heaven because we thought that we were equal with God. We took away the glory of God, and we tried to put it on ourselves. And that's why God put us on this earth. And he's saying, now is such a time that I want you to be changed into my image, to where you cast down the pride, you cast down yourself so that my glory can rest on you. And you're giving back the glory of worship back to God. That's what we're here for. We're here to be transformed into his image. And today I'd like to share the three components of the sin nature, because, you know, the Bible says Satan comes as an angel of light and he deceives even the elect. And I believe all of us here, all of us that are listening, we're the elect. We're called. Pastor Jim was saying today we're chosen by God. And the elect can be deceived because of three components of the sin nature. One is pride. Two is the soul. And three is ego. And the three of these components are all what makes up the human nature as we speak. For one, pride, it's the power and it's the force that drives all three. And what I'm saying is the power behind pride actually feeds the soul. The soul, I'm going to give you a definition of the soul. The soul consists of your mind, your thoughts, reasoning, feelings credited with thinking and will determining one's behavior. Amen. That's the second component of how it's actually feeding off of pride. And what soul does, its soul actually creates ego. That's the finish point of the three, is your ego. Amen. And what ego consists of, it derives from the soul or mind, and it makes up self-esteem, self-worth, self-respect, your self-image, and even self-importance. But if it's not in Christ, it's in self. Amen. It's all full of pride, because pride is the power behind the three. And why I'm speaking this message today is because I work in sales, and I see when I'm going before people, I can see actual pride in myself. I can see ego come about. When I'm talking to people, there's ego coming from them. And the last 2 weeks, I've been just sitting there and I've been meditating on this. I'm saying, God, you know, We want to get closer to you. We want to be transformed in your image. What must we do in order to become your image? And he's saying, it's pride, soul, and ego is what we need to let go of. Amen. You know, I was working with a guy this week, and this guy's a very smart man, and I love the guy. He's funny, you know, he's very intelligent, but he's full of ego. And when we were together, all he kept talking about was how great he was. You know, in the workplace, he was great. You know, he was the top three in the nation and this. And, you know, he told me how many times he was Jewish, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there nodding. I'm just listening to this. And I'm like, man, it's a real shame because, you know, at one point I said, you know, you say you're Hebrew, but where's your faith? You know, because the divine nature, Christ, is made up of faith. And if we're all made up of our mind and intelligence, where's the faith at? It's lacking. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, well, you know, that's a part of me. Faith is a part of me. And I'm like, well, that's what we should be made up of. It's not a part of me. It's what we're made up of. If we'd find Christ. Because Christ is the opposite of the three sin nature components. Because Christ is love and humility. And humility, if you translate what humility means relying upon. When you're reliant upon something, what is it? Well, in Christ, we're relying upon God for everything. Amen. And that's how we're saved, because we're giving ourselves up for God to be fully in our work, fully in our life. But when we're full of the sin nature, which is the pride, the soul, the ego, all we're relying upon is self. And we had a message in here we've been on this message for 6 months, and it's been, be gone, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Okay, when we stand before God, is he seeing the pride, the soul, and the ego? He's going to deny us because he never knew us, because we were never relying upon him. So that's why it's so important now, why we're here on earth, to transform into his image by relinquishing the pride, the soul, and the ego. That's what we're casting down on a daily basis. You know, when I was with this guy, I'm watching what I'm even saying to people, and I'm saying, wow, my ego's manifesting. Because you start to take on this self-image of yourself, and it's coming from soul. You know, how do we know it's manifesting? You know, if I spend 10, 15 minutes with somebody, I can tell if it's ego or not ego. One of them is, do we defend ourselves? How many people can honestly say we don't defend ourselves? I mean, whether it's your opinion, whether it's an issue that you're going through, you know, you're defending it. I mean, if you look around the world, it runs rampant of people trying to voice their opinion on you and exert their opinion. And they're constantly speaking it, and they're constantly trying to make it a part of a situation. Well, that's ego. Amen. You know, another part of ego is, how about when people tell you about their accomplishments constantly? You know, like constantly boasting about what they've done, you know, who they're becoming. And I'm thinking, well, I don't always need to hear that. Why are you always telling me? You know, in Christ, we preach that God manifests through you. Amen. You know, when Jesus was walking with God, he outwardly manifested his presence and signs, wonders, and miracles for Jesus. You know, it wasn't Jesus manifesting, it was God around him. That's why you could say he's the Christ, because it was the divine nature that was present. It was obvious that God's presence was there. Well, with ego, we're basically exhorting ourselves to people and telling them what we want to do, what we accomplish, what our greatness is. Well, God's not involved in that. He's far from it. You know, the Bible even says that, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, I'm going to say this. I believe that pride is the root of losing our time or our true heavenly place with the Father if we don't overcome it. Amen. You know, if we don't overcome the pride, because the pride is the root, I believe, of evil. And the evil is opposite of God, because God is love. Well, pride exalts itself over the love of God and the knowledge of God. You know, the reason why the third of angels were casted down is because they exalted their pride over the knowledge of God. And God says you can't serve two masters. You either serve him or you serve the other, and the other is the pride. So it's our duty here on earth is to dissolve the pride, you know, and we have to cry out to God and say, God, show me the manifestation of this in my own life. Because, you know, I'm not concerned with everybody else. I'm concerned with myself because I want eternal life. I want to sit at the right-hand side of the Father if it be his will, you know. And if you're hearing this message today, it is his will, because he would, if you wouldn't be here, if God didn't want it, you to dissolve the pride and so that you could overcome it and sit at the right-hand side of the Father. You know, Jesus sits at the right-hand side of the Father because he overcame ego, soul, and pride. He overcame it, even to his final days, even to the final position on the cross. The ego had to be submitted. You know, he had a chance to walk away from the cross. You know, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was trying to say, God, look, man, if this isn't your will, you know, and his ego started to rise up saying, look, I'm trying to protect myself here so I don't have to go through this. So let me walk away if it be your will. And God's saying inside of him through the voice is saying, no, go to the cross. This is my will. And God and Jesus submitted to God's will. But in this world, there's a lot of self-serving people that aren't submitting to God's will. And the reason why is because they have it up here that this is their God. Their mind, their ego is their God. The ego's been created out of this. And it's, you know, that scripture verse where it says it's hard for a rich man to go through an eye of a needle than a camel. Well, the reason why a rich man is that the rich man's in his mind. It's not all the wealth that he has as far as money, but it's the richness of his own wisdom. It's harder for a rich man in wisdom of this carnal nature, of this sin nature, ego, to go through an eye of a needle than a camel is. You know, if you reflect back on when Jesus was tempted in the desert, you know, this is a spiritual connotation. You know, the Holy Spirit of God led him in there to be tried and tested. Well, there was three elements of his testing. One, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Because if you look at his situation, he was tempted three times. And pride was the derivative of the lust. And why I'm saying this is because, you know, Satan is a being, okay? But it's an opposer of God. It's not just this one little person that sits on your shoulder that speaks to you. It's a force. It's a power that speaks to you and tries to divert you from the will of God. So if you remember, if you recall his trial, Satan in that scripture said, hey, if you be like God, take yourself up to the highest mountain, throw yourself down, and you'll have a bunch of angels that will come and grab you so you won't stub your toe. That's pride. That's saying I could be just like God and I'll just throw myself down. That was his mind. That was his ego talking. And he overcame that. He quoted scripture to battle it because he had to renew his mind so that he was telling his ego, no, I'm going to put you under my foot. So when he went through those three trials and temptations, when he came out of it, what does the Bible say? He was endured with power. Well, it was the power of Christ within him. The power of the Holy Spirit rose up in him and gave him power to overcome his ego and his will so that he could carry on the journey of God's will through his whole life then. I don't know, but I mean, there's a lot of people in this world that say they're Christian or they say they're Muslim, they say they're this, they say they're that, but they're full of ego and they're being deceived by the wicked one of this world. And they're up here in the pulpit even speaking, trying to preach gospel, and they're saying it's the true gospel, but it's not, because it's full of pride, it's full of soul, and it's full of ego. And that's why I can honestly stand up here and say that we're casting it down. I wouldn't be up here saying it if I didn't believe it, if I wasn't trying to act upon it and trying to cast down my ego. Because I don't want to be duped. I don't want to miss out on eternal life now. You know, and I don't want to go before God when I die and him say, "Be gone, Tim, I never knew you because you're full of ego and soul and pride." Amen. So that's why God put it on my heart to speak this message today, because it's time. The time is now. We're short on time. You know, I wish I could look back in life at all the time that I had, but I don't even know how much time I have going from here on out. But I know one thing is I want to overcome now this ego and soul and pride so that I can have eternal life. The Bible also said God resists the proud. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, you're saved by grace through faith. Grace is the knowledge and the love of God that he pours out in those that are humble, that we said earlier, that are relying upon him. If we can humble ourselves and just solely rely on God, his grace comes upon us. He gives us the grace, the knowledge, so that we can overcome the world and what's in the world. And I'm not saying overcoming money and overcoming things that you like to do. I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about ego and soul that is rampant in us that sometimes we're not even aware of. We're glazed by it. Because we're thinking we're okay, and I'm looking back in my life, I'm saying, no, I mean, I see it manifesting all the time. But the great thing about seeing it manifest is being able to deny it. God says, you resist it, it will flee. But it takes time, it takes work to do it. God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm fearing pride. I'm fearing the fact that there's pride that's in me. There's a spirit of pride there. There's ego. But I'm also saying, you know what, God? What you started, you're faithful to complete it. And I know that he's on my side because he's showing me this. So I know he's for me and not against me. Because if I didn't see this, I'd be duped. I'd be duped, just like it says in the Bible about the elect that are being duped. Because they think they have a knowledge of God, but they're denying the power of. The power is in the humility, and it's in the love of God. It's not in what we know up here. You know, I'm going to go into 1 John. I'm going to start with 2:16 and 17. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Pride is the driving force of lust." I can't say enough right there. You know, pride is the driving force of everything evil in this world. You know, when you get to be a billionaire, do you really think it's about acquiring more money, or is it the pride of having the power to have over other people? I mean, think about it. When you're a leader, you have those dictators out there. They got all the money in the world, but they want the power to control. That's pride. You know, just like the third of the angels up there. They were worshiping God. They were glorifying God. And at some point, the jealousy came in and said, wait a minute. I can be just like God. I can exalt myself and just be like him. And that's when God got jealous and said, no. No other gods before me. Get out of here. And he casted them down. Why do you think we go through chastening? It's to build character. It's to build the character of God in us, the divine nature of God. It's not to punish us, but it's to show us that pride and ego is manifesting. That's why we go through chastening. It's only there to slap us a little bit to get us on the right course, which is humility and love and trusting in God. That's why we're chastened. And we should embrace it. It's a good thing that we get chastened, because if you take it as this, if you take it as an offense and saying, oh man, I can't believe I'm going through this situation. This sucks. This stinks. Well, we're not embracing the chastening here. It's not building any character, except it's building the other side, which is murmuring and complaining. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. You know, pride causes unbelief, because the unbelief means that you're not trusting God. You're trusting yourself. You're trusting ego. And we need to set that aside and cast it down. We need to be transformed into his image. The image of God, you know, you take the fruits of the Spirit, it's love, selflessness, mercy, compassion. You take in patience, long-suffering. You know, take the other side. When you're full of pride, you're trying to make things constantly happen. You know, you're forcing this. You're trying to make this work. You're trying to manipulate this side. Okay, now you're angry because you're not getting your way. You know, there's a ton of things that we can go through on just that side of it. And how many of us can honestly say we manifest it every day? You know, we all do. We all do. But at least we're recognizing it. At least it's being showed to us that we can resist it. You know, the time is of the essence that we need to resist this, and it will flee. It will depart from us eventually. But I think God allows it to linger there because he needs to bring his chastening sometimes so that when we go through that, it's his actual love, it's his correction. Because think about it, we're filled with it. We're filled with the pride and ego, and he can't give it to us all in the straight one measure because we'll die. You know what I mean? But he gives us in increments. We go through a little chastening here, and then we go through a breather. Then we go through a little bit more chastening, then we go through a breather. But the key is when we get chastened a little bit, we come to repentance. Just like Jonah. When Jonah brought the word and everybody was saved because they repented, they changed the way they thought, it was a mind-altering, mind-changing experience that changed their life. And that's what God's calling on us. Repentance is changing of your mind so that your circumstances and your actions change. Amen. If we can't change the way we think so that our actions change, then we'll stay in the same state and the same way of being for the rest of our life. Our life should exemplify Christ in an ongoing day of repentance. Every day we should be repenting of something. You know, we need to search ourselves and say, okay, God, what do I need to do today? Okay, you know what? I need to rest because the Spirit of God, the Word of God in my heart's telling me just to wait. And I got a peace just waiting and waiting for the Word to come forth. But my mind's telling me, gotta do, I gotta go here, I gotta do this, I gotta make this happen. It's total opposites. They're at war with each other on a constant basis. And that's why we need to grab a hold of the one and make it submit to the other. Because if we don't, then the other one's going to force its will, and then we're going to be locked up inside, and we're not going to have that eternal life and salvation. The pride of life is anything that leads to arrogance, pride in self, which is figuring things out, which you must do, and also boasting in the worldly wisdom over God's wisdom. I mean, let me tell you, when you're submitted and fully under ego, how many people do you hear them boasting about all their accomplishments? Look with me, I did this, and I'm that, and I did all these, and I'm thinking, okay, well, why do you keep telling me this? You know, they can't help it. Because ego's finally manifested from soul and pride, it's kind of consumed them. You know, because maybe, you know, and I can't say that ego's a very big thing all the time. Sometimes it's very small. Sometimes when life wrinkles your feathers and kicks you down sometimes you got a little small ego. And it's kind of suppressed inside. And then those people like that still have a little pride in the soul starts to try to build that up and create it to keep building it up. So they need accomplishments to make themselves feel better. You know, because they need to justify the fact that they are important in life. You know, and that's where the ego confuses and it basically diverts from the truth. Because God says you are important. You're the apple of my eye, God says. The only approval we need in life is from God. That's it. And that's when God says, you are righteous in my eyes. And how do we become righteous? Is when we submit to his will. You know, God says it's better to be obedient than to be sacrifice. Obedient to what, though? It's obedient to the word that's within you. It's obedient to his voice when he's constantly speaking to you on a daily basis. He speaks in a still, small voice. It doesn't lead with anxiety, worry, or fear. But it comes in a still small voice where it brings peace and there's joy in it because there's a voice that's saying, hey, go this way. And sometimes we don't know where that way's leading, But when we go into it, we see something that's like, oh, I never expected that to happen. There's a peace and a joy with it. God's constantly wanting to direct our footsteps. You know, there's a scripture verse in the Bible where, you know, you put a bridle in a horse's mouth because you're trying to break that horse, because a lot of times horses are untrained. Well, it's the same thing with God. You know, when we first come to know God, there's a breaking point in us that God has to get us to in order for him to lead us through life, because we're always constantly on the resistment. We resist this, we resist that, but God's trying to steer us and direct us through life, through our heart. But how many people can honestly say it's so difficult to trust the heart because I don't want to get hurt, because I don't know the unknown? See, our mind's always thinking what it knows, and a lot of times when I'm trying to follow my mind, I might have 25 different scenarios and not one of them comes to pass. But I'm smarter than everybody, though. But it doesn't come to pass. But I can honestly say this. When I do follow my heart, A, I'm surprised. It's exciting. And it never comes out the way that I figured out. But something great happens every time I follow my heart. You know, I remember coming into this ministry 20-some years ago. I was single. I didn't have a job. I was broke. My self-esteem was low, but I tell you what, I found God with a relationship with him. He gave me his son, Christ, which I accepted, and from there on, he gave me a family. He gave me a great job. He gave me my peace and my health back, because I was a mess, but it's this gospel that I'm speaking today that transformed me and got me to where I am today. Without it, I don't even know if I'd be alive today. I could be in some psycho ward, or I could have just died just from heartbreak. But God's the one that loved me first and saved me and brought me here to this place, this special place that has the truth that will set us free if we agree with it and we embrace it. There's also a scripture verse in James that I'd like to read. It's James 1, 13 through 16, and I have it on my phone here. I just got to punch it in real quick. In James 1, chapter 13, 16, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when his desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." That's the three elements of the sin nature right there. Pride is the leading force behind the lust. And it entices us. It entices the soul, and the soul's eating it constantly because the soul needs to feed. And the food that it feeds on is pride, because pride is the power that makes it grow. And then in turn, the soul starts to create ego. And when that's birthed, it becomes sin. And that's where all of us have to cast down the sin. That's the only sin that God sees. When we die, amen. It's not, look, God says, "I will not impute your trespasses against you." But we are the ones that create sin, not God. Because it says it right here, God cannot be tempted, or does he even tempt anybody. Mm-hmm. He allows this to evolve, and then what he does is he brings his love and corrects us so that we don't keep falling into pride, soul, and sin, and ego. Because he wants to have that relationship with us. You know, it's kind of like when a mother gives birth to a child. You want to immerse yourself with that child, and that child get to know you, and you get to know that child. You embrace it, and you love it. Well, think how much greater God's love is for us, because he birthed us. We came out of God, and now God's bringing us back into him so that we get to know him and have an eternal relationship with him. But this is like a testing period. This is like a testing trial period, because it's like when he brings us into the kingdom, it's like you're coming into royalty, and I'm not going to have some joker come into the kingdom that's going to just do what he wants to do in the kingdom. There's rules, there's laws that are set up, and there's trust that needs to be established in our life with God. And that's why we have to go through what we have to go through. You know, God gave me an inkling of, if you take pride, soul, and ego, if you ever read Revelations, it talks about 666, the number of the beast. Well, the number of six means man. And if you take the three, it becomes 666, because that's what makes up man. And we're not talking about flesh and bones. We're talking about what makes up the human nature. Amen. You know, in Revelations chapter 13, it talks about how the people will take the number of the beast in their forehead. Well, it symbolizes taking it in your mind. Amen. Because your mind is 12 inches from your heart, where the true voice of God and divine nature rests, is here. So people are taking on the number of the beast, and they're taking on pride, soul, and ego, and that's what they're being transformed into. Amen. And that's what's keeping us out of heaven, out of an eternal place with God. Because God doesn't know you from that. He doesn't know people when they're transformed into that image, because they're taking on a different image than what God placed inside of us. He placed his own divine nature inside of us. And that's what we're supposed to be transformed into. And I believe everybody here is being transformed into Christ, or you wouldn't be here listening to this message today. The great thing about it is, let's continue to stay on the road that God has given us. Trust him. Trust him in all things. Don't divert to the mind. Don't divert to our ego. When you see it manifesting, let's grab hold of it. Don't take it as this. Don't think about when you see your ego manifest, don't get upset. Don't feel guilty. Don't bring condemnation on yourself. But just be glad that you see it and you're able to get rid of it. You say, okay, you know what? I'm going to cast that thought away, because that's not of God. That's not of me. That's of the soul. That's of the ego. So, with that being said, I'm going to pass it back to Pastor Jim.
Amen. Let's give the Lord another great big hand of praise. You know, because we need a clear understanding of the gospel. That's our gospel. That's our gospel message. We need a clear understanding of the gospel message. Now, that doesn't make us bad people. It just makes us to the point where we need to understand that there has to be a change. There has to be a change. But I want to just elaborate on one more thing, because none of us want to be deceived. And if we say we don't have any sin in us, which would be the ego, if we say we have no sin and we're a good person, guess what? You're falling under deception. And that's called false humility. And we got to be really careful about false humility, because a lot of times, pride is empowered by deceiving us, by thinking that we don't have any pride. And we're a humble person. We're humble, and we're meek, and we're soft-spoken, and all these other good qualities that we would think come from humility. But the reality of it is, we are, I want to say, introverted into ego. Introverted into a false humility under deception. And inside of us, we're angry, we're frustrated, we're annoyed, we're offended, and we're having our little conversations all within, but our outward appearance is humble, meek, kind, but our heart is saying something else. So I want us to really grab hold of what the Spirit of God is saying today, and really take it serious about our eternal life. I mean, when we stand before him, he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Or if he's going to say, well done, my faithful servant. You learned the battles, you learned the war, you understood how to overcome. I will now grant you a seat next to me. And it really comes down to it, if we had to boil our whole gospel message down, it would be how to war against our members. How to fight against these powers and principalities that are ruling and reigning inside of us, and how to allow Christ, our heart, manifest and be honest with it, rather than trying to take on the reasoning and the mind of man and come into the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise on this.
I think it's a great foundation for next week's message. Stay tuned, because we are going to talk about how to war with members. What are the members? We have to identify with these manifestations that are inside of us so that we can clearly understand how to look at pride, how to see how it turns into the ego, which ego creates our identity that says, I will never do that, or I can do that. And you know how the gospel message says it's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives within me. So he basically takes out the I's and puts up the hymns. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand of praise. At this time, we're just going to close. We're going to open up ministry for next week. You received your blessing. Don't think that you have left here empty-handed. You didn't. God has blessed you, and he's going to continue to bless you as you move forward. If we just get one nugget today and our hearts are changed, I kept seeing that one person that was on the cross next to Jesus. Has anyone saw that, heard that story about the three that were hanging on the cross? There was Jesus and two prisoners or what have you. Well, the one was manifesting pride in a very strong way, kind of laughing and mocking. But the other one said, you know what? I believe. And because he said, I believe, he says, this day, I will see you in paradise. So no matter how old you are, no matter if you think it's too late or not, because, you know, it seems like so much to war against, and you feel as though that you've been carrying ego for a really, really long time. You just need to believe. And because you believe, this day, I will grant you a seat with me in paradise. So it's just that one belief to say, you know what? I recognize it. And if we left this earth today, but yet you said that in your heart, I recognize this truth. I believe God's love and his mercy and his grace just takes you. And I say to myself, man, I feel like I'm that other servant. And I don't know if you ever heard this parable, but there was a man who was looking for work, and he was hired in the early morning. And he worked all day. And then there was a guy who was hired in the afternoon. And then there was a guy that was hired at the very end of the day. But when it was time to get paid, they all got paid the same. And I'm like looking at that one who says, I believe, at that last moment of their life. And I say to myself in my heart, why do they get to sit next to you when I treaded the corn out? And I worked all day. But you know what? It's not about how much we worked at it. It's all about believing. So feel blessed if you're that older one who says in their heart today, I believe. And you didn't have to go through the treading of the corn all day to get the same wage. Amen? Amen. God bless and have a good one. I'll see you next week. Remember, Wednesdays, we are taking a little holiday, and so we're having Wednesday nights every second Wednesday of the month. So June 13th will be our next Wednesday night service if you want to come out and visit us. If not, you can still go online, pull up some messages that have been spoken in the past or what have you, freshen up. But we will not have Wednesday service this week. June 13th is our next one. And be blessed. Amen. Amen. God bless.